Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bible to 2 Corinthians 10. And I know you may not remember, it's been kind of broken up, but we're in a series on answered prayer. This is actually our last teaching on it for now. But we've talked about different things, different elements that go into prayer. I don't know about you, I don't want to pray just to be praying. Right. You know, Brother Hagin said one time that, you know, it might have been his church or another church, and they were all gathered around the altar praying, you know, and he said, I just decided to take a survey and go ask everyone, what are you praying for? And they said, well, nothing in particular. Well, that's what you get, nothing in particular. And that's not what we want, amen? Now, I understand there's a time we're just praying, fellowshipping with God and all that, and praying in the Spirit. So that happens. But you know, how many know we ought to have an aim and a goal and expect some things to, amen, to happen, amen? So we talked about, let's see if I can remember, Ma, we talked about how lifestyle affects your prayer life. And that's one that's not taught about a lot, you know, but your lifestyle does affect whether you're going to walk. God's not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of lifestyles and of faith. Amen. And so we talked about that. We talked about how your prayer needs to be word-based, based on the Word. In other words, not on your feelings, but on what the Word says. Feelings come and go, but the Word stays the same. Number three, you got to base your prayer life, it's got to have the element of faith in it. I was just reading that scripture today, how James said, "Let you know, the double-minded man, don't let him think he'll receive anything of the Lord." Yeah. That's pretty strong. Yeah. And yet, sometimes we're criticized by people on TV about us preaching faith. And, you know, they say you got to believe. No, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Amen. Jesus' half-brother James said that. And a lot of other people in the Bible said that. So I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. None of us did. That came from God. Amen. So we talked about faith, and we talked about thanksgiving, which Miss Deanne was talking about tonight, which was really good. We got to remain thankful. Amen. But tonight I want to talk to you about, and you know, we're just labeling these 1, 2, 3, 4. This is number 5. But I want to talk to you tonight about what to do with your mind. You got to do something with your mind, or the devil will steal your prayer through your mind. So you got to know what to do. So let's go here to 2 Corinthians. Did I tell you that? Yes. Chapter 10. Look with me at verse 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, now we do not war after the flesh. You know, we're walking in the flesh, but when we face battles, we don't have to just depend on fleshly things. Right? You know, I mean, and I understand maybe we might use some fleshly things sometimes in some areas. Maybe you go to a doctor, maybe you take some medicine, maybe you have that surgery, but you got to realize that's not where your battle's at. That's not your weapons. Your weapons are spiritual, right? We're going to attack this thing with faith. Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to do it that way instead of, because I'll tell you one thing will happen eventually in life is if you just get stuck depending on the natural, you're going to run into something the natural can't fix.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you haven't built your faith, there's some problems going to happen.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. You don't want to try to build your house during a storm. You want to get it built before the storm hits.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. You know, I'm a yard guy. I like that my yard to look nice. You know, so. It looks pretty good, but you know it still needs help. I'm like Coach Gnetti, even though they won 57-0, we still need to work on some things. That's who I am with my yard. So I'll go around and I'll look and I'll see people. You know, it's springtime right now, nice weather, everybody's out doing things, and I'll see people, their yards aren't in very good shape in my neighborhood, because I walk in my neighborhood and I'll notice they're trying to fix them in the spring. And you don't fix them in the spring, you fix them in the fall so that they're ready for the spring. You try to fix them in the spring when the heat hits, it undoes what you tried to fix. So it'll just burn your little grass up. So I'm thinking, you just need to, you gotta have it fixed before the weather hits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now's not the time. You may be helping some now, but if you're going to fix it, you got to go back and fix it the previous year. So it looks good. Well, that's the way people are with their faith. Sometimes they wait till something hits and then they call pastor or they call somebody else and help me out of this. Well, you got to fix your faith. Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank God for God's mercy.
Yeah.
But we need to be ahead of the thing. Amen. So you know, when I face, if I face some kind of something in the natural, I'm just not warring after the natural. I'm not warring. I may be walking in the natural, but I'm not going to war after the natural, because I have, verse 4 says, weapons of our warfare that aren't carnal.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
You know, strongholds are something that gets a hold of you, and it gets rooted in there. You know, the devil will tell you, well, you'll never have that. You'll never be this way. You'll always be this way, and you'll always be bound with this. And that's a stronghold, and you got to pull that down, because that's contrary to what God's opinion of you is. Amen? He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not like the words that are used here, it uses the word pull down, cast down, and bring into captivity. In other words, you're going to have to be violent with your thought life if you're going to have success there. Because thoughts are going to come. How many know that? And you got to learn what to do with them. And, you know, our warfare, you know, when people used to, I remember years ago, talk about us having this warfare, and they talk about the warfare in the heavenlies that we have. And, you know, some of it was true, but a lot of it was just not Bible. But the warfare he's talking about here isn't a warfare in the heavenlies.
That's right.
It's talking about in your mind, your thought life. And, you know, the devil will try to talk you out of things. How many know that?
Yeah.
I remember being baptized in the Holy Spirit over 44 years ago now. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the devil tried to talk me out of it. He said, that's just you. Well, it's like one friend of mine said, well, who do you think is going to be your brother-in-law? Of course it's just you. It says they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I've got a friend in the ministry, and he's been a friend for years. And he tells the story about when he was seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you know. Because some of the older Pentecostals sought it for 30 years. And how many know, if you're trying to get to Indianapolis and you're not there in 30 years, you need to do something different.
Yeah.
You need to figure it out. So he said, you know, he said, I did all kinds of things. He said, then I heard about this evangelist that was going to be in this certain city, and he had a white sheet. And if he hit people with the sheet, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he said, I went to the meeting. And he said, I sat on the front row and said, he came by and popped me with, you know, just a piece of a cloth, not a whole sheet, I'm sure. But he just popped him with it. He said, when he did that, the power of God came on me. And he said, but I didn't speak in tongues. He said, one day I was driving down the road and I was listening to Brother Hagin's radio broadcast, you know, and Brother Hagin's talking about, and the Spirit gave them utterance, and they all spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. He said, that utterance is the want to. And he said, well, I've got that. And he started speaking in tongues. See, he had to put some faith to it. You know what I'm saying? He had to learn some things, put some faith to it. You know, I don't know about the guy with the sheet, whether he's legit or not. God, before you judge things, you better just back off and leave it alone. And if it doesn't violate the word, I guess he could hit you with a sheet and God, you know, amen. Right? And I've seen people do stuff that's just a little different, but if people got delivered, that's all right.
Yeah.
Amen. He's talking about Wigglesworth, said sometimes he'd hit people. I don't recommend ministering to people that way. But he did, and they'd ask him one time, so why do you hit people? I'm not hitting people. I hit the devil and they get in the way. That's what he said. I wouldn't recommend that, but it seemed to work for him, but don't copy it.
That's right.
Amen. No, so we have this warfare, and it's the devil trying to talk us out. You know, it's like the devil did me. You didn't get it. You know, it was just you and all that. Because we have these ideas that sometimes aren't scriptural, how it's supposed to be and what's going to happen.
And the Bible doesn't tell us that. You know, I remember one years ago, we had a move of God going on through the land, and the Holy Ghost joy would hit people. Anybody, any of those services? Oh, yeah. I mean, people just start laughing for no reason at all. And then some people sit there like you know, their mother-in-law just moved in or something, you know. And so they were like, well, why come it doesn't happen to me? And I said, well, one thing you got to understand is it's not a redemptive blessing. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. Right? And another thing, too, you could be so stiff that nothing moves you. Amen. You got to respond. How many know that? You got to open up. But it was a true move of God. People really got blessed and so forth. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about this. What you think about after you've prayed is of utmost importance. Don't let the devil drag you over into doubt and unbelief. Now, let me say this to you. You can't keep like thoughts coming to your mind of doubt, but what happens is when you start acting on them, that's when you've accepted that thought. You see, the thoughts that aren't acted upon die unborn. So thoughts may come. They may persist in coming. But you got to learn not to act on it and not base your life on that and not base your expectation on that, but base your expectation on God's Word. Amen? See, this is the area where the battleground's at. And so you have to do some things. Let's go here to back in the Old Testament to 1 Chronicles 16. That's back here, Kings, Chronicles. Go to other chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles. So, you know, the devil, the Bible calls him, in Peter, your adversary. Let me give you another word for that to think about. Opponent. Because that's what adversary means, opponent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you got an opponent, what are they trying to do? They're trying to win.
That's right?
Right? You never see, you know, March Madness is going on. I love March Madness. I like it. I like to check the games out. Yeah, but you never see one of the teams that, and they interview the coach before the game, and he goes, well, I know we're going to lose. We came here, we're going to lose. But, you know, hey, it's just great to be an attorney. How many know they're not saying it's great to be in the tournament. They're come to win.
That's right.
Amen. And so you don't come with that attitude. He's your opponent. Satan's your opponent. He's out to stop you. He's out to keep you from the blessings of God. But he's out to keep you from winning. But guess what? You've got weapons that aren't carnal.
That's right.
Amen. He's just limited to what's common to man, the Bible says.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. You know, every time he tempts us, he's not tempting us with something we don't know about. He tempts us with things that we're familiar with. And we know what's going to happen if we do it. It's awful quiet in this church. He never tempts me to try to hack the U.S. government computers. I'm not sure I could hack mine except with a hammer. I mean, there's no temptation there because it's not common to me. He does things that are common to you. Right? And so, but we have weapons that are not common, that are spiritual, the name of Jesus, our faith, the blood, the Word of God. Amen? So those are weapons, and if we just have faith in these weapons, see, you have to have faith in these weapons. So, well, I said the name of Jesus three times and nothing happened. Well, did you have any faith about you? You have to have some faith about you. How many know that? You have to believe it. And so, all right, let's go here to 1 Chronicles 16. Are you there? Verse 15. The Bible says, be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he hath commanded to 1,000 generations. So we're supposed to have our, when the word, just think of the word mindful, think of it this way, mindful. Your mind full of something. What's your mind to be full of? His covenant, right? The word, you can say the word. That's all right. That's all right. See, that's part of our heavenly armor. You know, Ephesians talks about the armor of God and it talks about the helmet of salvation. Well, what is the helmet of salvation? Well, the helmet of salvation is knowledge of your redemption. See, when you have knowledge of your redemption, the devil can't beat you because you know you're redeemed.
everything he throws at you, you know you're redeemed from it. So it's he can't win that way. And you got to learn to be skillful. You got to keep your mind full. How many know you can fill your mind with all kinds of things? You can fill your mind with things that don't profit. Christians do that. They fill their minds with things that are, there may not even be bad, but they're just no profit to them. You know, I had gotten kind of a habit of doing this. I have a, like on my iPad, there's like a page on there where you can just check different articles. Some of them are, you know, pretty cool, you know, like cooking. I like the food articles. You know, there's some of them like, who has the best cheeseburger in America? Well, I want to know. Yeah. Inquiring minds want to know. You know, I mean, if I'm going to get a cheeseburger, I might as well get the best one, all right? Who's got the best, you know, chicken strips or whatever, or steaks or whatever and all that, you know? And the thing kind of reads you, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how they know this stuff, but they track you. I told Phyllis, here a while back, I made a phone call to a business here in town, a phone call. Just a phone call, okay? A phone call, cell phone call to this business. Well, then after that, their ads started popping up on my iPad. So how they know I called and talked to these people? It's just amazing. You know, you're being watched all the time. People try to steal stuff, and it's like, there's cameras everywhere. We have them in here. We've got security cameras all around the building. And yet, people try to do stuff. It's like, smile, you're on candid camera, brother. All we got to do is back it up and play it and see who did it. We're not spying on people. It's just for safety purposes. But they're all over the place. See? Anyway, there's these. Now I start seeing these pop-up things that come up because they know I'm older. So it's how to have your best life in when you're in your 60s and 70s and 80s. You know how to, if you'll do this, you'll live long. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to pay any attention to that stuff. The Bible says, here's what the Bible says: with long life will I satisfy you. And here's why, because I did start reading them and I thought, well, this says to do this, and this says to do that, and this says to do this, and if I ate all that, I couldn't fit through the church doors, you know. You got to have so many of this and so many of that and so many servings of this and that. I said, man, I don't eat that much food. I ate plenty, believe me, but I'm not going to eat that much, you know. And so it's just like, this does not add up, all right? So let's just stick with the Bible. Yeah. How about use your faith, be moderate. Amen. Right? You know, because, I mean, you know, you can do what you want, but I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it's received. Listen now, if. You know, if's a big word, isn't it? If it's received with thanksgiving, which means thankful. That word thanksgiving there means thankful language. Right? You stop and think about it. You know, when you're praying over your food, you stop and think about it. You say, God's good, God's great, thank you for this. You know, and you're eating while somebody's praying. Anybody been guilty of that? I have. Phyllis has caught me. She's praying and I'm eating. It's like, oh, all that's within me, bless His holy name. That's not thankful language. Because it's, listen to what, it says this, it's set apart by the Word of God and prayer. Yeah. You listen to that? See, I had a doctor try to tell me once, and I'm not knocking them. Maybe they found something, I don't know. But they said, you have a sensitivity to certain foods. You have a sensitivity. Now, I'm not knocking anybody. Just listen to me. It's my story. They said you have a sensitivity to dairy products and wheat. And I told Phyllis, I said, Well, I don't accept that in Jesus' name. My Bible says every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. Now, you do what you want to do, but I said, I am not living my life without butter. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you may disagree with me. That's fine. You got to handle your life the way you want to have. I rejected it, said I'm not doing it, and went and ate some butter. Forget that. No, you're not going to tell me that. Now, I'm not knocking anybody. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying, and maybe you do have an issue you're dealing with. That's fine. But I just decided I'm not dealing with that. That's not going to happen. I'm not going there. I'm not going to. You're not going to tell me I can't have Texas Roadhouse Rose. Ain't happening, honey.
With butter.
So I just ignored it. Now I'm not telling you to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to, but I'm not accepting that because my Bible says every creature. My Bible says every creature of God is good. Of God. Now, not some of the junk we've made up, but of God is good. God made cows and told Peter, rise, kill, and eat it. So it's like, they told me anything. I said, what are you talking about? They said, well, anything comes from a cow. I said, butter? Well, yeah, butter. Ice cream? No, thank you. I'm going to take, see, it's quiet in here. You can do what you want to do. I'm not telling you what to do with your life. I'm just telling you, that's just me. I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to fill my mind with his covenant. And say no. Now, you know what? What if you did have some reactions you had to back? Well, that's one thing, but then start putting your faith on it. Yeah.
Right.
And just stand on the word. And just say, well, no, here's what the word says. The word says, and so I'm going to get this back. If you want it back. You know what I'm saying? Now, you can't do that for everything. You know, there's no, God didn't say every snicker is good and nothing. That doesn't mean you can't eat Snickers, but don't try to make it your main diet, okay?
Right.
Amen. All right, are y'all with me? I don't know if I offended people or not, but that's just me. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying me. I'm not going to allow the devil to tell me what I can do and what I can't do. And I'm not calling the doctor the devil. The doctor was telling me what he found, but that's of the devil.
Right.
What he found, or she found, was a she in this case, is of the devil. It's not a God. God made everything for me to, you know, that he made it to sustain me. Amen. All right, moving right along since that went over so big. But anyway, it's still the truth. It's just the way I live. I'm not telling anybody how I live. I'm just telling you how I live. I don't accept those reports. It's not that maybe I don't have to deal with things, but my weapons aren't carnal. They're mighty through God. So I'm going to use my spiritual weapons. So we have to have our mind full, right? The helmet of salvation, knowledge of your redemption. The Bible talks about using the word skillfully. And I've told you this story before, but it just comes back to me. I went to pray for she was in her 50s, a lady in her 50s, some years ago, maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago or less. I went to pray for her. She was in the hospital here in town, and she had cancer, and it was like going to take her life if it, you know, run its natural course. It wasn't like she was at the point where it was going to take her life. And so I'm going in there to pray for her, and when I get into her hotel room, it's not as cheap as a hotel room. Her hospital room. When I get in there, she has on her tray table there, she's got a book about heaven. Now, when I saw it, I knew immediately I have an issue right here. Thank God for heaven.
Yeah.
But if you've been given a death sentence, you don't need to be reading about heaven because you're going to want to go.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not a bad thing, but maybe it's not time to go. She still had kids and grandkids that needed her. And so I realized this is an issue because really she shouldn't have a book about heaven right now. Not that you shouldn't study and know about heaven, but right now she's in a battle and she needs to be skillful with the word. She needs a book on healing. She needs Christ the Healer or some kind of book with the Bible to fight with. And I thought, you know, she's going to go to heaven because that's where her mind is. She's studying about how good it's going to be when she does pass on. And she did. See, what I'm talking about, I'm not criticizing her. I'm sure she doesn't regret the choice. I'm sure she's not up in heaven saying, man, I wish I hadn't come here this soon. I'm sure she was happy. But yet, God may not have been done with her on this earth. Matter of fact, I'm sure he wasn't done with her on this earth. Amen. Because he doesn't take you by cancer. How many know that?
That's right.
He doesn't do that. He wants you. He just removes you. Your spirit.
Yeah.
Your spirit leaves. Your body will fall over. So you understand, when we're talking about being mindful of his covenant, we're talking about keeping your mind full of that instead of all the negative stuff, the bad news and all the, you know, all the stuff. It's like I said, this one page I have on my iPad, it'll give me sports stuff. It knows I like sports. It knows I've gotten older. It knows I like food. All right? Those are the things that show up a lot. Food, sports. I mean, it's the staples of life. And you know what I mean? But then it knows I'm older, you know. It's just amazing how we're being tracked and followed. Right? I mean, if I get a letter from Social Security, it seems like they know about it. You know, they're just tracking. So I just got to be comical because I look at some of these things and I think, well, this is the key to living longer. And then we go over here and they tell you something just the opposite's the key to living longer. I saw a guy, he was in his hundreds. Yeah, he was at least 100 or over. And he said the key, here's what he said the key was, is he smoked a cigar every day. How many believe he got it wrong? Of course he did. But that's what he said. He smoked a cigar every day. I'm sure that's not the key. And that's the way it is. See, just because it's online doesn't mean it's accurate. Just because it came from maybe a medical doctor doesn't mean it's accurate. Because sometimes they're selling stuff too. Amen. We got to watch that. But how many know every report you get out of here is accurate?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's accurate. Now, Isaiah, let's go there. I think we got time here. We got a few minutes. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Let me show you something here. Isaiah 55. Y'all with me tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Isaiah 55. I hope you understand. I want to make it plain because I don't want people running out and say, well, the doctor said I shouldn't eat peanuts, and so I'm going to eat peanuts, and then I get a call at 4 in the morning, you're in the emergency room. You better learn to, you better use your faith and work yourself out of that deal. See, what I did was I stopped it before it started. You understand? As soon as they told me that, as soon as I got off, got done with the conversation, I said to Phyllis, I'm not doing that. That's not happening. I'm not accepting that. So see, I didn't, you know what I mean? If as I was already in the deal and it would have messed my, I got to get my body in line, right? Right? I did pray about it. That's right. Thank you. I prayed about it and the Lord, I did pray about it. I'm glad you said that. I did pray about it and the Lord said, no, you don't need to do that. Just be moderate about some things. You know, just don't eat one category all the time. You'll be all right. He told me to be moderate about it and use my faith. That's what he told me. So I told her, I said, well, I'm not going to do that. Not going to happen. Anyway, praise the Lord. But see, sometimes, like, I remember the days when people would, like, throw their medicine away because they thought that was faith. But, I mean, throwing your medicine away isn't faith. Believe in the words, faith. And I've told people this before, and I hope you understand it. You have to wait till it catches up to your body or your body will go haywire on you and you die before you get a manifestation. So sometimes you have to do things in the natural, but that's not our warfare. Our warfare is in the spirit. We're not looking for something to treat the symptoms. We're looking for something to get it out of our life. Does that make sense to you? So I'm not just going to treat symptoms. I'm going to fight it with the fight of faith. I may have to do something to treat the symptoms while I'm fighting the fight of faith. But I'm not just going to treat symptoms. I'm going to fight the fight of faith.
Amen.
Amen. You ever seen some of these medications that they help people, but yet on the other flip side, you know, I was reading one, I think one time, and it was talking about all the side effects that came with this medication. And they sound worse than the thing it was trying to fix. I thought, well, I just take the thing that it's trying to fix and leave these side effects alone. You know, it'd make your hair fall out, which didn't really bother me that much. You know, your toenails turn black and your teeth fall out and cause you go blind. But, you know, it'll stop that pain in your side. Like, it's going to kill me to do it, but no, thank you. So you got to use some wisdom from God. Amen. All right, look at this, Isaiah 50. Is this making any sense tonight? Isaiah 55, go there, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we have to forsake certain thoughts, don't we? You know, when we get saved, it's a process of just forsaking the way we used to think. Paul called it the renewing of the mind. We used to think a certain way about things that because that's the way we were brought up. That's just the world we lived in. But once you get saved, you start thinking God's thoughts. His thoughts are higher. I mean, what he thinks about money is higher than what the world thinks about money. What he thinks about what's healthy for you is higher than what the world thinks what's healthy for you. Right? What he thinks about things is always higher than the world. So you have to fill your mind with his thoughts and forsake your thoughts. You know, I remember getting saved. When I got saved, you know, I came out of a lifestyle that wasn't conducive to being, you know, full of good thoughts. And I had to change mine, renew my mind and the way I thought and the way I acted, the way I treated people even. You know, I had to change all that, you know. It's the way you talk to people and the way you said things. I had to renew my mind to that. The way I talked about my own life, I had to renew my mind about that. Right? You know, used to when you're a sinner, it's like, well, if anything can go wrong, it will. Well, you know, I learned early on in my Christian life, stop saying that stuff and start expecting good things to happen based on God's word. Right? Not just positive thinking, but because the word promised me certain things. That's what I'm going to expect, you know. Because they, you know, they tell you, you know, you're going to, you know, you can expect this and expect, you know, they tell you when you get older what to expect. I mean, God told us what to expect when we get older, didn't they? What did he tell us to expect? Long life, right? What else did he tell us to expect? Miss Deanne just read the scripture tonight. Renews your youth like that of the eagles. Amen. I know your body wears out. I get that. You don't, you know, it starts kind of early. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you watch these guys that play sports. They get a certain age. Amen. And they doing something else. Why? Because they don't hit the ground as light any longer. I remember watching. I always liked to watch this guy Brett Favre play football. You know, I saw the night his dad passed on, and he played on Monday Night Football. He went ahead and played anyway because he said his dad wanted him to play. But you know, he had to be heavy-hearted. It was one of the best games I'd ever seen him play. He threw 5 touchdowns. But I remember when he got older and he had grandkids. When you got grandkids, you shouldn't be playing NFL football. And I remember his last year, seeing him get up off the ground, he looked like an old man. Oh, you could tell every bone in his body hurt, you know. Gray in his beard, grandkids watching. Okay. What was happening? Well, he wasn't the 20-some-year-old gunslinger that he was when he first came into the league because his body changed. But it doesn't have to be sick. See, people say, well, you know, you get older, you just expect things to happen. You should expect God to keep you. Sure, maybe you don't run as fast as you used to. Maybe you don't lift things like you used to. I don't pick up things I used to pick up. I could pick up, I'm not bragging, but I could just pick up just about anything. I could load the wash machine on the back of the truck and not need any help. I'm not making this up. I could pick the dryer up and put it on the bed of the truck and not have to have any help. If I did that today, I'd need somebody to come and get the dryer off of me because I'm older. I'm not sick. I'm just, like Paul said, your body, you know, it's wearing out and getting older. Amen. But not with sickness. Does that make sense to you? Not with sickness. Paul said our outward man perishes. What does that mean? Well, you know, eventually one day he's gonna come to the end and it's gonna be time for you to go to heaven. But doesn't mean you have to be sick. Amen. I don't run up and down stairs like I did when I was 20. I still go up and down them. Praise the Lord. Might grab something now every now and then to kind of help me, but that's not sickness. Just the old dog ain't as young as he used to be. But we don't have to be sick. Amen? Yeah. See, God has different thoughts about that than the world does. The Lord says, well, you got to lose your mind, you know, and you're going to be broken down. You got to be beat up with this and beat up with that. No, that's not what the Bible says. Amen. God's thoughts are higher than ours. Amen? Yes. All right, we're about to close down here, but let's go to, let me see where I want to go. Let's go to Hebrews 12. We'll close here. While you're going there, you know, one of the things we have to watch is that we don't mingle our seed. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy that talks about, in Deuteronomy 22:9, it talks about don't sow your vineyard with different kinds of seeds, lest it be defiled. We have to make sure that we keep the seed we sow in our hearts single-minded on the Word. That we're not, you know, one day, you see, I see this out of believers sometimes, and then they wonder why they have some struggles, but they put too many diverse seeds in their garden. They try to plant. What do I mean by that? Well, they'll talk faith for a little bit and unbelief for a little bit. And see, they're ruining their harvest by doing that. They're mingling their seed. It's called double-mindedness. It defiles your prayer. And so you have to watch that we don't one day wake up speaking faith and the next day wake up speaking unbelief. That we stay with what the Word says. Amen? Now, look at this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. The Bible says, for consider him, that's Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And I like the way the King James says it best, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, some say discouraged in your souls. Well, that's your mind, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So what happens? Well, what happens is before anything else gives up, your mind gives up. That's why Paul said we have a warfare in our mind. It's the battleground. Yeah. Satan knows if he can get your mind, he can get your victory. So he tries to plant these thoughts. That's why we got to watch what we're thinking after we pray, that we're not allowing that. Now you can't stop negative thoughts from coming. I mean, they come. You can't stop doubt thoughts from coming. They come. But you can cast them down. You can bring them into captivity, right? You can do what Paul said and just don't let them run loose in your life and act on them. Act on them. You don't act on them. You act on what the Word says. It's making sense? Okay. So you have to watch that. That's the area of the battleground is your mind. And Satan tries to get a hold of your mind. Now, here's the thing. If everything that we prayed for, we believed God for, came to pass overnight, then there wouldn't be any of this battle going on. There wouldn't be any of this warfare going on. It comes because you have to stand sometimes. And you have to stick with it. Amen. You know, even in the natural, you got to stick with stuff, right? Sometimes maybe you're getting a higher education. Sometimes you got to stick with it. I remember going back to college after I'd been in high school for 5 years. And I never was a math guy. I just never rang my bell. I know Teach's a math teacher. He's retired now, but he was a math teacher. He must have liked it. I didn't like it. I remember algebra. I thought it was the stupidest thing I ever heard. Yeah. R times 3 equals Z. I said, these people can't even keep the numbers in the alphabet separate. I don't want to read anything they've written. They've probably got numbers in there, you know? So, and I realized that certain people use it, you know, maybe and all that. And I had friends, you know, like one friend, man, he did the calculus. And what's the other thing that's kind of up there? A calculus or something up above that. But I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, he was into that kind of thing, I guess. But I never was. And so when I was in high school, you had to take math classes up to your sophomore year. After that, you didn't have to take any unless you just wanted to. And so we had to take algebra, you know, high school algebra as a sophomore. And so I took it, you know, hated it. And passed the class. I don't remember what I made, but I'm sure it wasn't great. But passed the class. But you know, after that, I didn't use it any longer. And so I remember going to college, my first day of college, and one of the classes I had on a Wednesday night was college algebra. Now, you're sitting there with people that just came out of high school, and they've been taking math classes. And this is not a joke. This is the truth. The guy got up. He greeted the class and said, good evening, class. That's the last thing I got. I didn't get anything else after that. It was way beyond me. You know what I'm saying? Because I hadn't given myself to that. You know, I hadn't given myself. And so, you know, I lost that. So, but you have to, I don't even know why I was telling that story. Anybody know why I was telling that story? It was a good story. Amen? But I just remember my brain went tilt. And every time in my Christian life, almost every time I've prayed and believed God for something, the devil has come after my mind. And if that thing didn't manifest immediately, he came after my mind. And you have to learn that's where the battleground's at. So it's not just what we say when we pray, it's what we do after we're done. That's really where the rubber's going to meet the road, where victory's going to happen or not happen, is if you can win this battle up here and not faint, not give up in your mind. Amen. And don't let the devil steal your prayer through your mind. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.